Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, the podcast is just uploaded moments after the show goes off the air. As always, you can go check out the Periscope. That is the live video feed of the show, streaming and broadcasting live on our Facebook and Twitter accounts in case you want to go catch up with the show that way. Also, go ahead and head over to fanrunradio.com. It's a great place to check out all the latest news and stories regarding the Tennessee basketball, baseball, and football teams. And last but not least, go ahead and download the Fan Run Radio app. It is free to download. You can get it on any app store, Apple, Google, doesn't matter. But the main thing is you can take the show, take the station, anywhere you're headed each and every day. Hey, but of course, you already knew all that. Gentlemen, hour number one is in the books. Hour number two is on deck. We got through a lot of good Tennessee basketball and football stuff, but now here on a hump day Wednesday, we got that out of the way. We can really expand things out. We can really have some fun with some of these stories. You guys ready for hour numero dos? It's number two in Spanish, if you didn't know.
Really?
Yes. You ready?
Do you know that trois is three in French?
No, I did not.
Did you know that Ock is eight in German?
Wow. Chance, you got one?
I know a little German and Spanish, but no, I don't have one.
Pick a new language.
Yeah, you have to pick a different language.
Come on.
I don't know any Mandarin.
Give us some Swedish.
Ein Ne is nine in Pig Latin.
Okay. Just know Spanish and German. Wait. And only how to count in German, really.
What?
Pig Latin? Pig Latin was the, I don't actually know if this was real or not, but do you know what I'm talking about here? Where you would take the first letter, put it on the end, and add an A-Y. Yeah. So it'd be Ein-Ne for nine. Yeah, what weird stuff going on there. Either way, you guys ready to roll?
I can speak a little Swahili.
Let's hear it. Is it going to be safe for radio?
Yeah. Kutikialo, kutikazo juma. Demisha or D.
Very nice.
What did you say?
Said, let the rain come down, let it heal the earth for you and me.
Okay.
That was very nice.
It's beautiful.
That was very nice.
It was kind of very poetic.
Wow. Oh, what a start. What a start to hour number two. We are going all over the world, linguistically. Yeah, bet you didn't expect that. You know what else you probably did expect, though? You probably expected the second hour of the show, like it always does, broadcasting right here on Fan Run Radio, to begin with a little bit of an opening drive.
I didn't expect that. You didn't even tell me.
Yeah, that's my bad. That's my bad. I got your back, though. Always.
I got your back. I felt like you were going there, and I was at my finger on the button, but now here we are.
Here we go. And boy, do I have a good first one. You guys are going to be happy that we entered an opening drive here, and you're going to be happy with first down, because I bet you've been waiting for me to hit this news all day long. No, it couldn't have been breaking news, because it happened just about half an hour or so before the show started. But we are set! UFC 264, McGregor and Poirier, we are back! Looks like it's going to be a sold-out crowd in T-Mobile Arena. The trilogy will go down on July 10th, one of the most anticipated headline events of the year. It's exciting.
That's your boy, right? Dustin Poirier? You like him?
I like Dustin. I like Dustin.
No, you like Cowboy.
I love Cowboy. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Cowboy Serrano.
Yeah, I think that's who we were probably thinking of. But, you know, Dustin's good. I do love Connor. I go back and forth on Connor a lot because he reminds me of why I love wrestling. Each individual is their own individuals, their own characters, their own guy, is their own corporation, is their own media outlet. And Conor McGregor does the best out of anybody to market himself. I cannot wait for this.
He is more of an entertainer than he can be like sometimes a respectable fighter. He does his job.
Yeah, and well, and so that's even, I think, all right. You can tie this back into a conversation that we've just kind of approached the last couple weeks, but it's the same reason of Bryson DeChambeau. You know, when I look at these individual sports, and maybe it does come from a wrestling background, right? The reason that people like wrestling is because each individual is their own thing, right? It's not the Yankees. It's not the Tennessee football team. It's not the Memphis Grizzlies. Everybody is their own individual. So you need to figure out a way to portray yourself, to market yourself, to advertise yourself, to be entertaining, to be outgoing. Those are the kind of guys to me, regardless of their talent level, are always going to get my attention in those individual sports. I can't wait for this fight. Oh, yeah. McGregor is back.
I hope it doesn't get canceled. McGregor was talking on Twitter the other day about the fight was off and calling Cormier a clown because of the whole $500,000 donation thing.
Oh, yeah. It's been a quarrel, if you will. And Charlie just nailed it about this $500,000 donation. McGregor did tell Ariel Helwani today. He said, "I signed the bout agreement this morning. I'm going to rip this game. I'm going to rip this game a new bleep on July 10th. The Mac is back in Sin City. Full house." That is a way to sell. Second down, gentlemen. All right, so the NBA play-in tournament is approaching. It's on the horizon, and there's been a lot of discussion about
it lately.
Wait, the what? The NBA play-in.
What they did last year, whenever the 7, 8, 9 teams
did
played for the
a revamped, modified version. Now,
why?
Yeah.
Why? I thought that was just for the pandemic.
People just kind of liked it and say this did it again.
I kind of liked it.
Well, I don't think it makes
the
sense.
Idea
to
behind-
me. Well, to me. If you're not good enough to make the 8 spot, too bad.
Like, if you can't do it in 82 games, why are we giving you a second chance?
Yeah.
I think the idea for at least from what I read this morning, was that the NBA is basically trying to make every regular season game meaningful. Saying, hey, even if you have an 8 seed, it's not locked.
Well, I feel like they're making it less meaningful by giving these other teams a chance. They're making it more meaningful for the 8th. It makes no sense to me.
Okay, so let's break this down, and then I'm curious in your thought. So the teams that finish 7th and 8th will join the teams that finish 9th and 10th in a 4-team play-in tournament to determine the final 2 playoff spots. Here's how the format works. It's confusing, so just bear with me. You might have to go read it back on your own. The 7th place team will host the 8th place team in a 1-game matchup. The winner of that game will earn the number 7 seed in the playoffs. The 9th and the 10th place teams will face each other in a 1-game matchup. The loser of that is gone. Done. Dunskies. The loser of the 7th place versus 8th place game will host the winner of the 9th place versus 10th place game in a 1-game matchup. That winner of the game will earn the number 8 seed in the playoffs, and the loser will be eliminated as well. From that point, the playoffs will proceed as normal.
Is this for both conferences?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What? Okay, so what if the 7 and 8 seed, what if there's 3 games difference? How is that fair? How is that fair at all?
You are really mad about this.
It's stupid.
It is stupid. It's not fair.
Maybe it doesn't make sense, but from a NBA, I'm pulling my NBA.
Well, I know they're going to do it because more people are going to watch. It's going to be drama.
More money.
But if you are that 7 and 8 seed,
you're screwed.
How is that?
It's not fair.
I would be irate.
So
I am right now.
And one Luka Doncic is.
Yeah. Luka and Mark Cuban are both not happy about this as well. Both had just as strong things to say as Brandon does, basically. Here's what Cuban said. The worst part of this approach is that it doubles the stress of the compressed schedule. In hindsight, this approach was an enormous mistake. This is what Luka Doncic had to say. I don't understand the idea of the play-in tournament. What? You play 72 games to get into the playoffs, then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs? I don't see the point of that.
Yeah, stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid from the NBA and Adam Silver.
You are not happy.
Let's,
this is not cool asinine. To you.
Why would you do that? Like, okay, let me look.
I got the standings right now.
What are the standings right now?
There are three teams. We'll start with the East. There are three teams that are safe. The Sixers, the Nets, the Bucks.
Just want to know 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay, so the play-in, fighting for a top 16, you got the Hawks, Celtics, Heat, Hornets, Knicks, Pacers, and then the play-in is their only shot is the Bulls, Raptors,
yes.
Wizards,
so
and
stop
Cavs.
Being a hater over there. Stop right. being a hater.
All right. I want to know the 7, 8, 9, and 10. Who is it right now? Is it, if the season ended today, who
right
would it
now,
be?
Right now, the 7 is Charlotte, the 8 is New York, the 9 is Indiana, and the 10 is Chicago.
Yes. We need the Bulls back to the playoffs,
but,
Brandon.
Like,
all right. So, right,
a half game up with 7.
So, right now, the 7 and the 8 are tied. Okay, that's fine. That play-in game's fine. But for the 10, the Bulls, there's three games separating them and the Pacers. And there's two games separating the Pacers and the Knicks. That makes no sense to me. You have a whole season to make the playoffs.
Separate the man from the boys in this little play-in
game. It's closer in the West. You've got a little bit more parity in the West. But still, you've got a whole season to make the playoffs, to make the top 8. If you don't get it, too damn bad.
Brandon, I just want the Bulls back in the playoffs.
Be better.
Don't steal my thunder.
Be better.
Don't be like that.
Sorry.
Your Celtics are good.
Not really.
We figured things out, Charlie. We won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
We're on the uptick.
I don't mean that they're good. Like, oh, they're good. They're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, but both the Celtics and the Heat are close enough to that 7-8 spot. We're a half game and a full game away from 7-8. We're... It could affect us if something went awry.
I cannot imagine the rage that would be swirling in my body.
I can't wait till this
if
happens.
If the Mavericks landed 7 or 8 and then lose 2 in a row and we get jacked from the playoffs, just a ball of rage.
Well,
as I imagine anybody.
But very cool. As long as the Bulls get in the playoffs, I don't give a damn. Have all the play-in tournaments. Give me one more.
Add them all in. Oh, yeah.
Let's do a last 4.
You get a spot.
That's potentially what they're doing. Let's do a last 4.
If that's the case, just let everybody in the damn playoffs.
Yeah.
A one-game tournament for everybody.
Let's do it.
And then you get back to the traditional setting once you get the top 8. That's how it works. Third down. Over the weekend, it looks like A-Rod found his team. No, it was not the Mets with J-Lo, but it looks like him and billionaire Mark Lohr are going to become the new owners of the Minnesota Timberwolves. The high-powered duo has earned the exclusive negotiating rights for the next 30 days, and it's expected that they will finalize the deal with the T-Wolves owner, Glenn Taylor. Now, two interesting things come out of this story. Number one, did you guys see the reaction of Anthony Edwards, the Georgia star last year, who was the number one overall pick last year to the Wolves?
He was number one overall pick, correct.
He was asked about Alex Rodriguez taking over the team. I don't know if this makes you feel old, but Anthony Edwards.
He didn't know who that
is.
He said,
I don't know who that is. I know he's going to be the owner. I don't know anything about baseball.
How do you not know? Who A-Rod?
He said, who is he? Even you should maybe know him because he's dating J-Lo now.
Yeah, that would be another big reason.
I feel like this is not the first time or the second time or the fourth time or the eighth time that we've been just like blown away by Anthony Edwards just saying something that didn't make any sense at all.
Didn't even really care about getting drafted number one, but he can ball. Like, he has had a good season, though.
Yeah. Remember that one time where he just started going through all the different sports that he can play?
He was just like, I want to be like a rapper or why? I don't know. I just play basketball because I'm good at it.
Yeah, man. Pretty much.
Crazy. Alex Rodriguez had this say on Instagram. He said, "Hi, Anthony. I'm Alex." Yeah. Great interaction there.
I'm known for steroids. That's what he should have said.
Alex Rodriguez, the longest suspension in Major League Baseball history.
Man, he has had the best come up
of
any villain in any sport. No, going down for the steroids.
It's not even close.
Yeah, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, like, people just, like, hate. And I'm not saying that people don't – he probably will still never get in the Hall of Fame. But, like, how has just, like – he was the villain, you know, the longest suspension, like you said. Then he got to be an ESPN analyst and just turned around. Then a Fox analyst. And now he's buying the Minnesota Timberwolves. And then give him J-Lo. Give him J-Lo, too.
He is literally the face of baseball. He is one of the biggest commentators. He's one of the biggest analysts. But at the same time...
World Series and that analyst. Like,
yeah, he is one of the biggest villains in the history of the sport. He was one of the guys that broke open the PED era. He was one of the longest suspension in Major League Baseball history. Hell, my Rangers are still paying this guy until 2025. He bamboozled a whole franchise.
He did. Big
money. So, man, it, you are so right about that. I was literally thinking about that yesterday. No villain has had the kind of turnaround that I think he has had. And
especially
been some great
any
ones too.
Of them in the steroid era.
Just make steroids legal.
I think, in my opinion... Barry Bonds still would have been a Hall of Famer. He was a 40-40 guy, just like Clemens would have been too. Like, yeah, they took steroids, but they all were doing it that period. Just put an asterisk beside their name or something. But, yeah, like, he has had the best. If you're Roger Clemens, you're Barry Bonds, you're, like, McGuire got back into the game as a coach and everything, so he's kind of had a little bit of a turnaround. But you got to be like, man, this guy, like, wow.
And you're right. With the J-Lo thing, he's on the entertainment stuff, the TMZ stuff. You see him a lot of different places. What a turnaround. Alrighty. And then, let's see. Last but not least. Hold on. Where is it real quick? I had seen this story. Oh, here it is. Last but not least, gentlemen, former Tennessee Titans great Eddie George is now the new head coach of the Tennessee State football team. Looks like he headed there. I believe that news came out yesterday.
Yeah, they announced it yesterday. It was
the weekend, right?
Yeah, it was over the weekend. They just had the press conference yesterday. That adds another, you know, pretty talented former NFL player to HBCU's head coaching position. And he's putting together a pretty good staff.
Jeff Fisher.
As an advisor.
Hugh Jackson
as offensive coordinator, though. Woo. And then also Jeff Fisher's son as the DC. Right now.
And the corner.
Oh, yeah. Dominic Rogers Cromartie will be on the staff as well. So, did he play with the Titans a couple seasons? I think so.
I don't know.
I think
so.
He did.
He never did.
I think he did.
No.
I think he did. I think he was a Titan for like maybe a couple seasons. But anyway, he gets to bring those guys in. Pretty happy for Eddie George. I didn't know. He was, like, on the entertainment side doing, like, Broadway shows and things. And even doing some, I guess, some analysis for the Titans here and there. But I think it's pretty cool that you got him and Primetime in the HBCU's division now. You know, Primetime's Jackson State. He's a Tennessee State. And you bring in a – I think he's putting together a pretty good staff. Like you said, Hugh Jackson and Jeff Fisher. I mean, as long as he's in an advisory role, I mean, he gets to come back to Nashville. He's very familiar with the area. A lot of people make the joke, though, about him hiring Jeff Fisher. You mean to tell me they couldn't have announced this on July 9th? Jeff Fisher Day? 7-9.
I just...
Or
poor Jeff Fisher can't play
or
in the...
Or Fitty Fitty Day. 8-8. August 8th.
What are they going to do, though? You're going to have to... That's going to be just a day for history when you move to the 17-game schedule.
Yeah.
And no more 7-9.
And then the other joke was if... Lord forbid, if they were playing 16 games, Jeff Fisher, Eddie George probably goes 7-9.
I've always thought of Jeff Fisher as an 8-8 guy.
No, he was. It comes from Hard Knocks.
7-9, 8-8.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
And it comes from the Hard Knocks episode with the Rams last before he got fired. I ain't going 7-9 this year. I ain't going to do it.
We go 8-8.
Folks, Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with the easiest new car buying experience.
Lying on the grass of Sunday morning of last week, indulging in my self-defeat. My mind was thugged, all laced, the buds all twisted, wrong and neat. Uncomfortable, 3 feet deep.
You know, I gotta give a shout out and a best of luck to one of our good friends of the show, one of our good friends of the station, and just one of our good friends as people in general. I was starting to keep up with his story yesterday, and I certainly followed it through the end of the day, at least as much as he gave. But if you remember, and I know that the guys at the table does, especially Brandon, but I had seen, and I'm wondering if you guys did you see that our good friend Lucas Panzeca auditioned for the Nissan Stadium Titans
public address announcer, yes.
Public address announcer guy last night.
I did see that.
That is pretty cool. That is pretty darn cool. Best of luck to our good friend Lucas on that. It looks like they had a who do they have? They had Jeff Jarnigan on their radio show yesterday as Tennessee's PA guy to give him a little bit of tips to kind of help. That's got to be a terrifying job, though, I feel like.
It's my dream job.
What, a PA announcer?
Yeah.
Why?
Are you, granted, I assume you're reading off of a script. I don't know.
Yeah, it's scripted, mostly, yeah. And then but, you just say what happens. It's,
yeah, you're really just announcing the what happens each play and then lineups, sure, and stuff. So it's not as tough. It's obviously not as tough as the play-by-play.
Yeah.
Guy.
It's now, just, I think
it's no Mike Keith, but yeah, it's I would think it'd be nervous though. I'm like, I'm saying like, oh, I could get out there and do it and whenever. Yeah, I'd be nervous.
I think that's the thing. Like, I think obviously the skill and the four of us are well trained to read off a script and we can all do so very, very well. But I think that I would psych myself out, right? I would convince myself that, like, all right, they all have to be, it's gotta be so consistent. Right, and you have to make sure your pronunciation is perfect every single time. It's got to be the exact same. And
you get your media guide that has your pronunciations, yeah, with all the tough players, and then you have your board with all your program, everybody, and then you'll have Key. Well, you won't have Key Fast because that's for play by playing and color stuff. But like, as long as you like no error. But the thing for me would be my ADHD because like you can't. You've got to focus. I mean, you can't miss anything
the entire time.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's it's basically like, you know, incomplete pass intended for number 13,
yeah, exactly.
T.Y. Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
And it's third and loud from the 27-yard line.
Yeah, things like that. You have to do a lot of that. So you really have to bring the heat.
That would be so much fun. That would be an absolute blast. So
I was about to apply for that.
Lucas has been doing pretty good. He was doing the stuff with the 104.5 zone. He finally got a
He got promoted full time, the 31st producer of Buck Rising's new show.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's producing a show now, 104.5 The Zone, and he still does a lot of stand-ins, contributors for, I guess, like doing a lot of the Titans stuff too. And he does like play-by-play for Chattanooga FC. So he's been doing good.
Yeah, man. So, hey, shout out to our good friend, Lucas Panzeca. Got his humble beginnings right here on Fan Run Radio with Brandon. On overtime, that was a hell of a show, in case you never understood the greatness that the original overtime crew was. You guys had things rolling.
Me, Lucas, and TC.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's see. I also had I had one more thing. All right. Now, maybe nobody wants to hear this, so this could last 20 seconds. Everybody just start collectively yelling at me if you don't want to hear it. You guys have any interest in following the Oh, my God. I probably shouldn't even say this right now.
It's too late.
Yeah,
you have to now.
You guys have any interest following the Jarrett Garantano storyline at Washington State? Uh-oh. All right. We'll move on. Okay. All right. Brandon threw the headphones off real quick.
I'm intrigued.
That's a definitive no.
You also, before the show, said that you like drinking milk in the middle of the summer when it's hot outside.
Yeah, so I do. When it's hot out, I'm drinking like a gallon of milk a day.
Your opinion does not matter.
Stadium cups at a time.
Ugh.
Right after a workout, right before a workout.
What is wrong with
right, that's
a
enough.
Workout, milk,
that
milk,
is
milk.
So
enough.
The biggest
No, we're not following.
Like, okay.
We're not drinking milk when it's hot outside, and we are not following Jarrett Garantano at Washington State.
We need a list.
You don't want to know that he went 8-for-8
no,
in the spring game?
No.
The only quarterback that didn't throw an interception?
I don't care.
Charlie likes the best. That's weird.
Milk
on
is
a hot
a
summer
normal
day.
Thing.
No, no. Milk
when
on a hot summer
and,
day
and when
you
it's
want
hot
stadium
it's just
cups
more,
of it
yeah,
before a workout, after a workout. Oh, I can imagine a workout working out with you. The gas.
But think about it.
Protein shakes already have a gym strong with everybody who's drinking protein shakes.
Just again, imagine it's hot outside. What better way to cool down than a cool, refreshing glass of 2% milk?
The before workout really gets me.
It was, this whole conversation started just literally 10 seconds before the show started today.
Yeah.
But we asked the question, what is the greatest drink of all time? And I think you have to take a lot of considerations to it, but Brandon and I are under the same, are in agreement, and this is how the conversation started, but that water, right? I got to believe that water is your number one for a multitude of reasons. I know that there are better tasting drinks. There's a billion other different kinds of drinks, but you have to have water for everything. And everybody knows that there's almost no taste as refreshing as when you're really thirsty and you just get some ice cold water. You can drink it at 7 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., 9 p.m.
That's better for you at room temperature.
2 a.m. Doesn't matter. Oh, very nice.
I like my water warm.
It's better for your body at room temperature.
So I feel like water, hot water is unbelievable, the undisputed goat of drinks.
No, room temperature, not hot.
I'm saying like I like my water like when it's been left in a car for a while. You're, like when it's hot. Oh
you know that can give you... Or like whatever. I'm just going to let you live your life. My reason...
yeah, let him be.
My reason for water... It is at the base of every other drink. Coffee? Water.
Yeah.
I feel like tea, it's not at the base water of that many drinks.
Charlie.
Name a drink.
Charlie.
Milk. Besides milk.
Yeah, besides milk. Beer, water.
Carbonated
beverages, have water.
I guess, yeah, bourbon has...
Yes.
Water.
You gotta think first. There are many.
I mean, it is the base of all your beverages. I'm not gonna, besides what? Milk.
But even not from the not even from the base. Like I see your point there. I'm actually kind of surprised you went that side. I just think like, and as far as there is never a time where water tastes bad.
Well,
and there is
well,
any
just...
time where soft drinks or beer or whatever else, they can taste bad at certain points of the day. They can taste disgusting at certain points of the day. Water, never. It's always great. Always number one. And it might not be your most anticipated or what you want at the time, but it's never going to let you down.
And Charlie, you got to stop drinking hot water, dude. No, they want to let you live life. Like, I don't want you to die.
No, like when you're showering too, though, when the water's really hot, it tastes so good.
Okay, when you drink that hot... I don't know what to do with him today. I don't know what to do with him!
Or just like hot tap water, even.
BPA is the thing you don't, and that's what you can get
these
from. You can get that
fact
from
check what
your
these,
water
these statements. I don't know about any of these.
You can get that from your water in your truck.
Gallon of hot milk a day. You got you're drinking.
No,
you know,
the milk,
like the look, hot water from the shower. Are you getting a cup?
No. I just open my mouth while I shower.
That just seem
I open
a little,
my mouth while I shower.
There are some weird things that just seem a little bit in line with the story that we're going. There's a lot here.
I promise you, it is just weird.
Hey, but now, back to you about your hot water.
I have drank water out of the shower before, and it's
delightful.
But it is not
delightful. You didn't mean to, though.
It's not
you
enjoyable.
You didn't mean to.
Well, no, every time I get in the shower, before I start washing my body, just for like 30 seconds, I just open my mouth and just drink
the
water.
You're probably like washing your face, Brandon. Some water got in your mouth. It's happened to me before. But like, I'm not just drinking the water out
that
the shower while
I'm
in the...
gross.
How is that gross?
Why is it
out of the shower?
It all comes from the same place.
It's in your bathroom.
So is the water from your sink.
Yeah, drink your sink water?
Dude, your shower head has gotten moldy over time. Like,
that is kind of...
You're in your...
It's good for you,
you know? Your mildew-ridden shower.
You never, like, drink out of a hose?
That's why you clean your shower.
That's nasty. Ew.
If you never drank out of a hose, either.
Look, we all drink out of hose.
Yeah, I'm drinking out of a hose, but, like, I'm an adult now. Like, I grew up at some point.
I drank out of a hose like a week ago.
I learned to not do gross things anymore.
I drank out of a hose Sunday morning.
Well, that's because you're gross.
A little bit nasty.
What are you telling me about BPA?
Yeah, you got to stop drinking those water bottles in your truck. BPA is a hormone disruptor that research has tentatively linked to several health hazards, including heart disease and cancer. Oh.
Yeah, you can't drink the water when you've been leaving it in a hot car all day.
Hot in the plastic.
The plastic.
It's the chemical called... Bisphenol A, BPA.
You're telling some good information here, but you think he's going to listen to that for a split second?
No, well, no, I will.
Shower water.
Shower water is better than plastic
hell
water.
Yes,
no.
Yes, it likely is better, but they both have bacteria. I'm trying to help you out.
Bacteria is good for you. Some of it.
Some of it, yes.
But no, like I guarantee you the milk thing is real. Like, I can, any family member can.
All right, so this comes from
I didn't even know it was abnormal for people to drink close to a gallon of milk a day until I got to college, because everyone in my family, everyone that I knew, just drank cups and cups of milk at every meal, regardless of the meal or the temperature or whatever else.
How much milk are y'all going through in
like
your
a
household?
Lot. A lot.
You talking about everybody in your just family buy the manager.
Oh, everyone's just drinking so much milk. You just got to get the manager special, the ones that are about to expire, because you know you'll beat the expiration. We're drinking it fast enough.
Most experts will tell you that tap water has a shelf life of 6 months. Just to let you know that.
Who's leaving tap water out longer than 6 months?
Maybe the guy who's drinking a gallon of milk and drinking his shower water. I don't know,
oh my gosh.
We have to start a running fact check of things, weird things Charlie
likes. I'll send you a video tonight of me just drinking my shower water and chugging stadium cups of milk.
Like the players he stands, things Charlie stands for. That's better.
Milk, it's the best thing on the planet.
I like milk too, just not in the hot summer.
I mean, I believe him on the milk.
You know, he's a big guy.
Yeah, I've known other people that go through a gallon of milk a day.
Close to, sometimes.
It's a bit excessive.
You remember when that like nasty trend of the pizza, people dipping their pizza in milk? Were you
that
doing
was
that?
A thing?
Yes.
That's I do think that pizza and milk is the single greatest flavor combination on the planet.
But you just said, is that a thing? How do you know it's...
But he said dipping, I mean, dipping
like
the pizza
eating
in the
milk. Pizza, drinking your milk. I'm not combining them.
No, they were like dipping it. It was so weird. It was like a thing on Twitter for like...
I'll get milk at like restaurants.
You are.
Okay.
I can't drink that much milk. It's actually not that good for you, to be honest. Cow, you know, from the cow.
Hey, you want to know why my ankle didn't break?
No.
Milk.
I got to say. Gross.
We got to take a break.
All right, Chance, let's head over to the breaking news desk right now.
Okay. I will play the short one.
It's a big one. It's a good one. There you go. It is in just now. 6'11" center Jonas Adu has committed to the University of Tennessee basketball. We got him. This is a huge pickup for Tennessee, a guy that was almost entirely projected to be a Marquette commit, a former Marquette commit even, who is ranked number 60 overall in the 247 composite rankings. He is the number 7 center in the class, the number 3 prospect out of North Carolina. You gotta imagine that some of Tennessee's latest moves in the basketball department helped get this pick. But guys, this is big. How long have we been talking about? Tennessee desperately needs a center, desperately needs a big man. And I would say 6'11", being the number 3 prospect out of North Carolina, being the number 7 prospect at his position in the class, Tennessee might have just found one of their most important pieces for this next team.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, and he's still raw, still got some things that need to be worked on, needs to get a little bit stronger. But I think with this class, you add two things that Tennessee's desperately needed the past few years, and that's a point guard and a true center. Some two things that you've not had since Josh Bone and Kyle Alexander, Jordan Bone. But yeah, it's big stuff. And then like we were talking about earlier with Brandon Hunley Hatfield, if you can get both of those guys, that's huge.
Oh yeah, it's huge. You talk about, I mean, just having the inside presence. Like he is raw, so he's, you know, he can't really play with the basket. Back to the basket, needs to add some strength. But this would be huge. You, like Brandon just said, you get Huntley Hatfield. At the same time, bringing in somebody 6'11". What have we been saying? Need a bigger presence down there in the post. And shout out to Justin Gainey.
Yeah,
making
his
first big recruit, because he was the associate head coach at Marquette. He has North Carolina ties that got him to Marquette in the first place. And then Tennessee was on it after Wojciechowski was fired. I mean, he opened up his commitment again, and Tennessee lands a position of need.
That is massive. I know that people were worried a little bit, you know, knowing that obviously Kim English and Dez Oliver were two great recruiters and certainly helped you bring in some big pieces. But right away, I mean, within days, Justin Gainey is able to land Jonas Adu, who again was all but locked up to go to Marquette, a former Marquette commit even, and like Chance has said, a North Carolina native. Brandon, you make an excellent point that, yeah, man, Tennessee is absolutely needed two positions in particular, right, for this level of college basketball. You need a point guard who can handle the rock and who can run an offense, who can create offense. But one of the best ways to do that is with a guy who is 6'11" at the center position. Again, it's a great pickup today, one that you are not entirely expecting to get. Again, even before Justin Gainey was brought on to the Tennessee staff, kind of thought that this at least the 2021 class might have been wrapping up, might have even been done. But man, you had another big player here, Jonas Adu, a four-star center. It's exciting. From Liberty Heights Athletic Institute.
It's starting to work out. And this is what we said. Like, you know, Barnes recognized it. Revamping the whole roster. They know what they need.
I hate to do this because of how upset everyone got about last year and after we built up to expectations, but I just do think there's just so much potential now to have a much better offense, like you said, Brandon, a true point guard and a true post player again. Plus, you know, we're still feeling pretty good about the potential addition of Hatfield Hundley.
Mm-hmm.
Hundley Hatfield, I can't
still
get that
feeling
right.
Great about that too.
Like very, very good.
Yeah.
You know, so you can just create so much more with your offense when you have a guy that can legitimately run your offense and a guy that you have to respect in the paint. And that just opens the door up for guys like Victor Bailey and for guys like Santiago Vescovi and especially for guys like Josiah Jordan James and Justin Powell.
Yeah, Justin Powell Panther.
Justin Powell Panther. So, yeah, I do think there's just so much potential here.
You know, one other thing, too, you get another shot blocker that Eve Ponsley is. You got to imagine a guy who's 6'11". We know here from Jerry Meyer, he says that, you know, he's a great shot blocker. But, hey, I'm okay with having another big man down low who can swat the ball into the fifth row.
Well, we're going to need some shot blockers because I don't really think people realize just truly how impactful Eve Pons was, especially these last two or three seasons defensively. Our defense has always been, you know, considered to be a close to a top-tier defense, if not a top-tier defense, mm-hmm. under Barnes. But so much of that has to do with Eve Pons legitimately probably takes, you know, 10 points away a game.
Yeah, you got to think about
in terms of blocks, but just also shots he affects and shots that, you know, a guy otherwise would drive into the paint and maybe try to take, but he knows that Eve Pons is there and he makes guys uncomfortable. He affects those shots. Like, I don't think it's silly to or an overestimate to say that, you know, there are 10 plus points a game that Eve Pons affected and took off the board from the other team any given night.
You hit the nail on the head right there, and it wasn't just the points that you saw get taken away tangibly with a shot block, right? It wasn't just the points that you saw get taken away when he slid into a good defense position. Think about how many just plays weren't attempted, knowing that Eve Pons is down low in a good position to guard the rim. There's got to be multiple of those a game. He stretched that out over his whole career, and that is something to really consider. And Charlie's right, a big piece that you're losing from this team. Again, a piece that you don't always see because he affects the mindset of other offenses. Hey, we know that we might not be able to drive to the basket right now because he pawns in a good position away from, you know, his guy. He's going to come over and yam this shot.
Erasing a lot of mistakes, too.
Yeah.
Man, that's exciting.
Love to see it. Justin Gainey, 72 hours later, getting a big commit for Rick
Stellar.
Ballers.
Hopefully we get Fulkerson and Hatfield. Is it Hatfield Huntley or Huntley Hatfield?
Huntley
Hatfield.
I change it in
Huntley,
my mind every single time.
I know,
time.
The double H's, it gets me too.
Huntley Hatfield.
Hopefully we get Fulkerson and Huntley Hatfield.
You know how I like to think of it? The Hatfields and McCoys.
Good idea.
I just keep the
Hatfield comes
the
first. Hatfields and McCoys.
Very nice. Good cheat.
Yeah, well, hopefully both of them join this roster, and then you don't have to – there's no pressure for Adu to have to start until you can strengthen him up. Instead, he can be, you know, a nice off-the-bench defender, space you out a little bit kind of guy.
I mean, just to add some depth from at the big man position coming off the bench. Oh. I mean, I know Uros did the best he could, and he came in, he filled – he kind of did okay when he was called upon, but just to actually have some depth in somebody that – you think that might be able to come off the bench and make an impact.
What is our ideal starting lineup for next year? What collectively? Let's put in Chandler.
Yes.
And then put in Uros, Hatfield, Fulkerson, and Adu. And just
okay.
One point guard
so
and
Kennedy
our four
Chandler
biggest
and four, and four huge men.
Four huge men.
Let's go Chandler, Triple J.
Yeah, I'm in.
Fulky.
Okay, I'm
VJ.
Into.
What's that?
VJ, Victor Bailey.
Yeah, VJ. And then, I mean, if you get...
I mean, if you get Brandon Huntley at fifth,
yeah,
he's starting.
He would be the fifth. Yeah,
if you get him, he's starting. He's not coming anywhere to come off the bench.
Chandler,
Vescovia off the bench.
Chandler,
Panther off the
Triple
bench.
J, Powell, Hatfield, Huntley, Fulkerson would be my starting.
Did you think pick seven people in your starting?
That was five. You just heard the double name.
I think that Powell will get there, and I'm excited for him to get on the starting lineup. I think that, man, he. Especially with his size, that's really a guy to look for to maybe come on later in the year. And again, just because he's got a little bit more competition with the guards, with a Triple J and a Vescovi right there around his position. But I like that. I like that top five that we just listed right there. That potential top starting lineup for Tennessee. I also like the Kennedy Chandler and four big men. Hey, why not? See how it works. Either way, let's see. We'll give you a little bit more information that we can find on Jonas Adu, Tennessee's newest recruit, in the final segment of the show. It's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You know that I don't have the best history memory when it comes to some Tennessee sports, but during the break just then we were playing a little rank that, not on the show, but I was getting the three guys to guess basically Tennessee's all-time commits. Now that we're talking a little bit about Jonas Adu committing to Tennessee, not that he falls in this category or anything, but while I was on the 247 page, so I had them guess the top 10, which, by the way, they nailed because three freaking smart dudes right here on the show.
Big, wrinkly brains.
Yes, sir. But I got to say, not often do I come across a name that I've just never heard of. In 2004, Tennessee's 13th highest recruit all time was Jackie Butler, a 6'10 center. Again, I never heard this name before. From Macomb, Mississippi?
I would
in 04?
I would imagine, this is just purely speculation because I have no idea who he is.
I know it's a simple Google away.
That,
but, you know, not
I
really.
Would imagine that he probably committed to Buzz, and then when Buzz was fired, he probably decommitted and never played a game for Tennessee.
Oh, I would say you're probably spot on. Yeah, I would say that's a pretty good call.
That's just my guess.
Anyways, that top 10, in case you're wondering, it went like this. Tobias, Scotty, Kennedy, Jaden, Keon, Robert.
Come on, you got to give some last names for the people.
The people know.
Jay Butler was a big guy, by the way.
Big as in?
He's a beefy boy.
Okay, beefy boy.
Like 6'10", 290.
Yeah, huge dude. All right. Tobias Harris, Scotty Hobson, Kennedy Chandler, that's your top 30. Jane Springer, Keon Johnson, Robert Hubbs, your next three. Josiah Jordan-James, Duke Cruz, Ramar Smith, and Tyler Smith round out your top 10 highest Vol commits ever. You've only had
Duke
seven
Cruz.
Five stars.
All right, like Rick said, he was Macomb, Mississippi is where he's born. Uh-huh. Attended Macomb High School. He originally committed to play at Mississippi State University,
uh-huh.
but failed to qualify academically.
Okay.
How do you not get into Mississippi State?
He later enrolled at Laurinburg Institute, then transferred to Coastal Christian Academy, a prep school in Virginia Beach. Although he wanted to sign with the University of Tennessee in 2004, he decided to declare for the 2004 NBA draft. That's why he didn't come here.
Oh,
it's harder to get into Knox Catholic than Mississippi State.
And he went undrafted in the 2004 NBA draft and signed as a free agent with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So he played with, like, KG.
Bad organization to land with.
Then.
A-Rod's
sure.
prom now.
If you haven't heard.
Yes, sir.
Ben Verlander. I don't know who that is.
Who that is?
Somebody with Fox.
They made a movie about him one time.
Top five potential cities for MLB expansion.
Zoolander. What am I thinking?
Yeah, you
Verlander.
Said Verlander.
Justin Verlander. Yeah. What an idiot.
I was thinking
of Zoolander.
I thought you were making a joke.
Like,
I was going to let it ride.
I was like, wow, nobody got that. I was like, why? Did I mess that? Okay, sorry.
I think Ben Verlander is Justin's younger brother. But top five potential cities for MLB expansion.
Ooh,
number five.
Okay.
Portland, Oregon.
I can dig it.
Portland, nice city.
Yeah.
Number four, Charlotte, North Carolina.
That'd be nice. Close.
They're a
4-hour drive for us.
And their AAA stadium is really nice.
Yeah,
really
it is.
Nice.
It's right there in the heart of downtown, isn't it? You can go walk right up to it. It's super cool.
Number three, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Everybody wants to go to Vegas. Yeah, a lot of things.
Number two, Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
All right, eh? Yeah,
well,
okay.
They've been trying to get a team back to Montreal for
years. Would you bring back the Expos?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
you'd have to.
That'd be cool.
You'd have to.
Bring back the Expos.
And number one, Nashville, Tennessee.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Now, this is conversation that's been happening for a long time, right?
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, if I'm not mistaken,
or at least it's been presented.
When they built the new Riverfront Park, they had hoped that they would eventually get a MLB team and they'd just maybe expand that stadium.
No, they have an entire plan.
Yeah.
They're called the Nashville Stars. They have an organization, a front office, everything else. They've been in communication trying to get an MLB team. They actually had one of the biggest administrators in baseball before he left them this offseason to go take a job as like the Phillies second in charge. And they have a lot of celebrities on board, and they have a proposal for a stadium that would be directly across the river in downtown from the Titan Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
So on the other side next to the pedestrian bridge, right in the middle of everything, was where they would build
the stadium. It'd be like to the right of the stadium, right of the Titan Stadium, right? Isn't that the pictures? I thought that's what I saw.
It'd be like a cross, and it could also be a venue. And
yeah, but I'm saying on the same, like Titan Stadium right here, it's on the same side, like to the right of the stadium in that area.
No, it's like across the river.
I thought that.
Like the downtown side.
Okay.
Well, I don't see how they can build it right across because I don't think there's that much room because, I mean, you get to the end of Broadway and there's not a whole lot of room for a stadium.
Well, the pictures
right
here, and this was like, I guess, renderings in 2019, it has it side by side of the Titan Stadium, and then the pedestrian bridge connecting, you know, obviously how it goes over to it.
But also,
it'd be badass.
Also, if you haven't heard, saw where Governor Bill Lee
hid waters into the Cumberland
announced that they were, I can't remember the exact headline, I'll try to find it, but they're including funds from the state to renovate Nissan Stadium as well.
Very nice. Gentlemen, we are out of time, and it snuck on up. It snuck
up
on us.
I just looked at him, I was like, oh, my God.
Real quick.
So we're going to
go ahead and be out of here for the day. Hey, we'll see you back tomorrow. Chance, what's one day? Just give us one day.
Just give you one day?
Just one day.
All right, one day. Today is National Pet Day.
Boom. See you tomorrow.